Chapter 1, The Early Years.
I bumped into an old classmate that just arrived on this side of the pearly gates. We took a minute to catch up on grandkids and the like. Then, just like they all do, he got around to asking, "Rudy, whatever happened to little Bobby Burton?" Whatever happened indeed. I'd better start at the beginning because there is a lot you probably don't know about Bobby. I first laid eyes on Bobby in the summer of 1936. I was 6 years old when the Burtons arrived in my Los Angeles neighborhood. My buddy, Dominic, and I stopped tossing the pigskin long enough to watch two heavily loaded taxis pull up to our cookie-cutter home down the street from the vacant lot we kids claimed as our playground. Most of the Burton family's possessions were crammed into the taxi's open trunks and strapped on the roofs. 5-year-old Bobby Burton tumbled out of the back seat and ran right over to us. With eyes shining with excitement, he asked a simple question that epitomized Bobby's whole life. "Wanna play ball?" I glanced questioningly over at Dominic and raised my eyebrows. Dominic looked Bobby up and down. "Well, Rudy, he's kind of scrawny, but we can give him a try." A lifelong friendship was born at that moment that would sustain the three of us for the rest of our lives and then some. Why is it that most friendships only last a few months or a few years at best? When you're a kid, you make a friend in the neighborhood or at school and spend hours together playing and exploring the world. But as soon as your circumstances change, the friendship dries up and years later, you can barely remember the name of that kid that terrorized the neighborhood with you. And that other boy that was the captain of your little league team, what was his name? How about the one that helped you blow up the Jensen's mailbox with a firecracker? We have to pull out the school yearbook to remember their names. So rarely does a kindred spirit cross your path that is a shock to the system. The friendship is so natural, immediate, and inevitable that you feel that you've always been and always will be friends. Starting that day in 1936, we came to learn that Bobby only wanted to do one thing in life: play ball. There were just two things standing in his way: his size, he was small, and his mama. To call Mrs. Burton overprotective was like saying the 51 U of San Francisco team was a pretty good college football team. Bobby's mama was a mother hen with an eagle eye, always alert to keep her kids safe. You see, the Burton family had already lost one son in a household accident. So when Bobby came along, his mama kept a close eye on him. The tighter she pulled the apron strings, the more adventuresome, ornery, and reckless he became. As soon as Bobby's mama left the house, we would sneak down to our grassy lot to play our favorite game called Dogpile on the Rabbit. It was a forerunner to football. We had an old pigskin ball that we had tossed to one boy. Then the rest of us would try to dogpile on him before he could run to the end of the lot. It got pretty rough sometimes. Most afternoons, there'd be a half a dozen boys loitering in the grassy lot. As soon as Mrs. Burton's bus or cable car would disappear down the street, a game would break out. When Bobby caught the ball, poetry ensued. Bobby dodged tacklers, wildly weaving, jumping, and twisting in midair. "Get him!" each tackler would yell after Bobby had artfully slipped through their hands.
"Grab him!" Dominic said, panting. "He sure is a slippery one."
"Yeah," I'd agree. "Like a greased piglet, too small to get a good grip." Eventually, one boy would snag his heel and bring him down. Then we'd all pile on. One by one, we'd slide off the pile, groaning. There was Bobby at the bottom, still clinging to the ball, grinning broadly, with eyes sparkling. Bobby had an older brother, Jimmy, who would also play ball with us. Marbles, too. They had a sister, but we never paid any attention to her. When supper time came, Bobby never wanted to quit. Jimmy would pull Bobby by the arm from the bottom of the pile.
"Come on, Bobby, it's time for supper. Don't let Mama catch us."
Bobby just rolled his eyes and headed home. Mrs. Burton didn't want her boys even watching the game, let alone playing it, but Bobby loved it. He was always smaller than the other boys his age, but he was fast and nimble and avoided the tacklers. Bobby couldn't get enough. One day, Mrs. Burton stepped off the bus in time to glimpse Bobby catching a pass and the rest of us tackling him.